on 98FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Evening all. How are we doing? You're listening to Bell and Sperling.
With him, Martin Bell.
And with him, Johnny Sperling.
Oh, yes.
Oh, hey, here it comes. I'm going to do that again, actually.
What?
You listen to the Bell and Sperling show with...
him, Martin Bell.
And him, Johnny Sperling. I just didn't...
Why did you do it again?
I didn't get it right first time. Something about it. Coming up on the show, we're going to be talking about the Wham documentary.
Very good.
Is it good?
Yeah, you haven't seen it yet, have you?
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Excellent. Well, you're a big, big, big Wham fan.
I thought you were going to say something else then. I've heard it's a bit of a tearjerker, John, is that right?
No, well, you know, it's always sad. Not really, actually.
It's a sad ending, though, isn't it?
Well, it was a happy ending for Wham, wasn't it? Because
not really.
It's a big concert.
Not for Andrew Ridgeley.
Oh, no.
Going to be talking about the dad who's not going to pay for his daughter's wedding because she won't let him walk her down the aisle.
No. Why is that?
Apparently she doesn't want to be owned.
Fair enough.
What's going on? Here we go. Also, apparently great white sharks are going to be in the UK very soon.
Well, that's good.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just around Southend.
Well, lovely.
Brancambi Island.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Going to be talking about what's the scariest animals that you'd come up against. I don't mean Millwall fans. Also,
and they are scary.
It's
Millwall
the hottest
fans.
June ever, John.
Of course it is. Oh, I came in just now.
Yeah.
Oh,
what?
I am sweltering.
Bit of snowing tomorrow. Here we go. Going to be talking about climate change. Do we believe in it? We contribute 1%, apparently. All coming up at the Bell and Sperling Show. Little bit of guitar there.
Yeah, very nice.
Bit of guitar feedback.
Yeah, you did well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. Right, it's a beautiful Thursday evening. We're going live tonight. We normally pre-record this because...
We do.
We go away with Nigel Farage.
See, hang on a minute. You've given that away, haven't you?
What?
Well, normally, I mean, you're looking at me. I normally want to say that we're pre-recording it, and you're looking at me going, no, 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 don't do that. No, no, don't do that.
The only reason why is because when we do a show, we say... I hope you enjoyed it.
Yes.
We're off to Barnsley now.
That's right.
To work with Nigel Farage.
And we get there in half an hour.
In GB News. People think we've gone by helicopter. Because we're on telly in about 20 minutes time.
I've never been in a helicopter, you know.
Have you not?
I know you have.
I have, but I won't
go. I wouldn't like it.
Not anymore, I won't. I don't like it.
Oh, really? What do you mean not anymore? What, are you losing your nerve?
I did. I'll tell you what happened. My cousin was involved with a helicopter business out of Southend Airport. Right.
Dean?
No.
Not Dean?
No, not Dean. He was involved in a boat business down at
South. Oh, that's right, he was, yeah.
Cousin Steve.
Hello. Oh, Cousin Steve.
Steve, yeah.
Lovely Steve.
So, one day he said...
Does he still look 25?
He does, yeah. Yeah, he's 72.
Is he really?
No, he's not. He's.
Yeah, he must be nearly that.
67, yeah. Still water skiing.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, very fit fella.
Yeah. Living in Spain.
I remember doing his 50th.
Living in Marbella.
Oh, he's living there now.
He's living there. Anyway, getting back to the point.
Yeah,
he's got a helicopter business.
Yeah.
And he said, come out in the helicopter. I've been in the helicopter a few times. Yeah, I thought quite nice.
Mm.
So we take off from Southend Airport.
Oh, yeah.
And as we go up, it's a bit windy.
Oh, my good God.
And suddenly he said, we're going to go over OC Island. And he said, don't worry. And he had his mate in the front and the pilot. And me and Steve in the back and his secretary, right?
Yeah.
And suddenly, the helicopter is a little bit sideways.
Oh, no.
And I'm starting to grip the sides.
Oh, God, yeah. I'd be gripping something else.
Well, I was gripping all sorts of stuff. And I'm trying to put on a brave face. And
yeah,
I, and
yeah.
They're looking at me laughing, right? They go, oh, look at him. Yeah, yeah. He's scared. And I'm like, okay, no, I'm not on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're up for about 10 minutes. And, and the pilot said, I think we're turned back.
Yeah. Ooh. I think I don't like those words, do you?
No.
I think we'll turn back.
Well, I did like those words.
Oh, you did?
I was scared and I wanted
well,
to go
it means
back.
Something's wrong.
Exactly. Now, they all thought it was very funny and they landed at Southend. And I couldn't wait to get off and I thought, never again.
No.
Anyway, they all laughed at me. Mm. 6 months later, that pilot flew into a mountain in Scotland.
I remember you telling me.
Yeah.
That's
bish
right.
Bish bosh.
You thought, there for the grace of God, eh?
Yeah.
So wow.
I'm not going home again.
No, no, no. I've never fancied it.
He's a good one. I think you've met him. A guy called Bob. Won't say the second name. Bob.
Bob. Bob.
Will do.
Bob.
And me and our very good friend, Mark the guitarist, went over to his palatial mansion out in...
Palatial?
Palatial. Mm. Out in Surrey somewhere. And
nice.
He said, right, let's go out in the helicopter.
What's a palatial?
Palatial. It's very, you know, it's got a big palace.
Oh, that word.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah.
Palatial. Yeah.
So we go out and he shows us his helicopter and he shows us all his McLaren.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Oh. And he said, right, I'll tell you what, we'll fly. It's only 15 minutes, go to Hanbury Manor for a bit of lunch.
Well, on his helicopter?
In his helicopter. And I said, well, who's pilot? He said, I'm the pilot.
Oh, no.
So I said, they started getting it out, of the garage. So I said that.
Glad you said that, the carriage.
And it was a beautiful blue sky.
Yes.
And I said, I don't fancy it.
No.
And they said, why? I said, well, I'm not being funny. You're 67.
Mm.
What happens if you have a bit of a Sean?
A Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, what happens then? He said, well.
Who can take over?
That's what I said. I said, is there a fella we can phone up to get us down?
Yeah, it's like some mothers do have them, isn't it?
Not really.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. He said, but I'm fine. I said, but what if you're not fine?
Yeah, what if you're not?
Because if you're not fine, us two are not fine.
No.
And that's the end of the three of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you, I'd rather take the car for half hour to Hanbury Manor.
Absolutely.
And have a sandwich.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I didn't go up.
Oh, you didn't?
No. And he keeps saying, why don't you come over and go up in the helicopter?
Yeah,
I don't know. As we've got older, do you not find that as we get older, there's things I don't really want to do anymore?
Well, I've never fancied private. You know, you've been in private jets quite a lot, private planes.
Not a lot, but I've been a couple.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't go in. The minute I'll go anywhere near thinking of going,
what are you talking about?
Buddy Holly comes to mind.
A private jet.
John Denver.
Private jet is fine.
No. No,
helicopter's not.
The Manchester United mob.
Thanks. 60 years ago.
Don't care. Patsy Cline. Jim Reeves. I could go on.
You're talking about people.
No. Don't fancy it.
They had one engine.
No.
These are jets. They're a propeller.
Stevie Ray Vaughan. Forget about it. No, I'm not going. I'm not doing it.
What about a BMX?
Well, now you're talking.
Okay.
I've been a few accidents on there and all.
Well, what's the worst accident you've ever had on anything?
What's the worst accident I've ever had on anything?
Well, you've had some of the best car crashes.
I've had some of the best car crashes. The one, the best car crash I've ever had.
Yeah.
I don't think many people can say that, can they?
No.
The best car crash I've ever had.
Was it the witness?
I fell asleep. I used to fall asleep a lot.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I've hit a tree.
Yeah.
But then... I don't know how I've managed it. To this day, I don't know. But then I've moved along a bit further. Of course, hitting the tree woke me up. And I'm kind of like... Remember it doing that for a while?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I'm spinning over.
You turned over?
Turned over twice.
Did you?
Yeah, because I remember...
Was you like an apple turnover?
Like an apple turnover.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, where I was so relaxed...
Yeah.
I wasn't scared or... It was just like, turning over in the car.
You never got hurt, did you?
It landed on its front, so the wheels were in the air.
This was... In a
sports car. What was it? McGann.
It wasn't exactly a sports car.
It was a McGann.
It was small for you.
It was a McGann. A Renault McGann, whatever that
was. Yeah, it was the little sports...
It was the sports one.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
You bought that with your royalties.
I did.
Yeah, and smashed it up with your
With my royalties. So, and then I've just, because I'm so sort of relaxed from being asleep.
Yeah.
Don't try this at home, folks.
No.
I've just seen a little gap in the window. I've hit it.
Yeah.
Tapped it and the glass fell through.
Yeah.
And I've just crawled out.
You're joking.
I swear to you.
Really?
And I had a little cut on my arm.
Yeah.
And that was it. It was in Abridge. I'll tell you where it was, just where the orange tree is.
Oh, yeah.
Just round there.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah, but I was a nice place to crash.
Yeah. Didn't someone come out?
Yeah. No, they didn't come out. I knocked on four different houses. Saying, please, will you help me? I was in a bit of a shock,
yeah,
you know.
Of course, yeah.
And then a woman just said from upstairs, I've called the police. Oh, thank you. Very nice. That's all she said. I've called the police.
What about going around Stapleford Abbots where you lived?
Yes.
And didn't they put width restrictions in but didn't tell you?
Yeah,
and
didn't tell us.
You hit them, didn't you?
Oh, straight away. Oh, that was the first one.
Yeah. You hit him a few times, didn't you?
Quite a few times.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we've talked about that famous story of me.
Yeah.
When I used to folks, I had a very bad sleep apnea.
I don't think you can tell it all, can you?
No, sleep apnea problem. Oh, okay. Yeah, I could tell that one.
Yeah. Okay.
And coming home from, I think a gig we did twice.
Yeah.
And I'm coming home, I fell asleep at the same place and hit the same car twice. Remember that one?
Yeah.
The same car.
You went into a parked car.
Yeah.
And then you hit it the
twice. And the following day, the same thing.
It's terrible.
I mean, you could make that
I mean, if you
wasn't drunk or anything.
I'm going to be honest.
I was just very, I had something wrong with me.
If you admitted this on the radio.
Yeah.
In these days, you'd be sued.
But I've just admitted it on the radio.
I know you have.
No. The thing is, I did have sleep apnea, and that was the reason I was falling asleep.
Well, you didn't know that you had sleep apnea, did you?
Well, I kind of knew something was up, but I was living in denial.
By the amount of things that you'd hit. Yeah. Right, listen, I'm going to play George Michael's song.
Oh, you're going to play George Michael?
And then we're going to talk about the George Michael documentary.
What are you going to play?
Well, it was the only one that I'd lined up, which I think is still one of the greatest ones that he made.
Hmm.
I'm going to surprise you with it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's have a little bit of this.
All right.
Tell him that she takes a stand, and
Georgie Michael.
It's a lovely song.
We didn't play a Wham song yet.
No. Well, you know, but that was, I remember that being, I think,
Smash It.
Music Week.
Yeah.
I used to collect Music Weeks.
You did? You got it every week, didn't you?
Yeah. And that was their track of the week. And being their track of the week in Music Week, that was a very prestigious thing.
Mm. But wasn't that Listen Without Prejudice album?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Great album.
Yeah, wasn't brilliant.
I watched, actually, after watching the Wham documentary last night, I watched George Michael live in Paris. Have you seen it?
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It is incredible. We could play the song.
Incredible.
And a friend of ours, Steve Sidwell,
is
the music director of
that. That's right. And Phil Ramone produced it, yeah.
And I watched that documentary when George was still alive.
Yeah, 2013.
And he sung that song. We'll play it in a minute. We will play that song. And I went cold when our friend Steve was conducting the orchestra.
Yes.
And I went cold and I sent him a message just saying,
it was amazing.
That is one of the most amazing pieces of music.
Yeah.
I mean, George didn't write that. It was written by...
Didn't write what?
The song that I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
Which we'll play in a second. I'll tee it up.
But is it the Rufus Wainwright?
Rufus Wainwright. Thank you very much. It's just... But the way George sings...
Yeah, no, he does. I mean, the Rufus Wainwright version is very good.
But not George.
But George elevates it. He really does.
He elevated a lot of songs.
Yeah, he did.
A lot of Stevie Wonder songs.
If you listen to his version of Roxanne... For example, I mean, it's an amazing arrangement of that.
Beautiful, yeah. So go on, just talk about the Wham.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to watch it tonight. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
By the way, I've set up tonight. I've got fajitas.
Oh.
Glass of red.
Nice.
And I'm going to sit down to it. I'm going to watch it.
Mm.
You know, I was a massive George.
He was.
And a big Wham. I went to the Wham final.
Yes, you did.
I still say it's the best gig I've ever been to.
Would you say?
Definitely, without a doubt. Yeah. Now, the fact is, sometimes gigs are not... It's not about the sound. It's about the memory of it, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like when I saw Paul McCartney in 1990.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Paul McCartney, every time I saw him twice, he always lost his voice. And he still was there in 1990, but he'd lost his voice almost to the point that it was, it was one of those.
Strangely enough, I went to see George... on two occasions, and he had a cold. And I knew he had a cold because you know how much I'd studied his voice.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you
I
could
knew
tell
how beautiful it was when he could sing.
Well, when he did the little BBC thing.
Oh, no, he was stunning when he sang that.
That was unbelievable, yeah.
That's when I went back to meet him.
That was
80 people.
Yeah.
I was lucky to be invited to that. No, he sung beautifully at that. But no, this one was at Wembley Arena, one was at Wembley Stadium, and I just knew he had a cold. You can hear it in his nose.
Yeah.
He wasn't going for the notes that you know, but there again, you know what it's like when you're on a tour and you're doing loads and loads of dates.
Yeah,
and it's a bit like us. If we've got loads and loads of gigs, sometimes you think, I'll just, I'll bend that little bit slightly. I want to go for it.
Yeah, yeah, well, of course, yeah. We've had to do that many times, yeah.
So, so yeah, go on. Just, so, is the documentary, is there a lot of behind the scenes?
It's really, really good, yeah. There's a lot of behind the scenes.
I want to know.
Go on. Oh, sorry.
There is a lot of behind the scenes
that you haven't seen. There's some great, really, really good, like, rare stuff that you haven't seen, like the first interviews, and they're so sort of green. And
does it say why the video has never come out about the Wham final gig?
No, it doesn't.
He didn't want it shown, apparently. He wasn't happy with
it. It's still not, is it?
No. There's clips of it, though, surely.
There are clips, kind of.
Oh, I'm hoping there is.
Yeah, but there is... But it's, yeah, I mean, when they come to the, that's the only bit, is when they come to that final, Wham final, you do want to see more of it, and you don't see enough.
Oh, really?
You don't see
enough.
Unless
they're holding that back for a second month.
Well, I hope that now, you know, George has gone, that they, you know, there's nothing really to hold them back from showing it, is
there? I was always told by people that he was never happy with his performance, and that's why that video...
Oh, really?
I mean, they could have remastered it, they could have done so, because...
It does exist, though, doesn't it?
Well, it's got to have, hasn't it?
Surely.
Somebody would have filmed that.
I mean, if you think of Queen Live Magic, same year.
Was it 86?
86.
Yeah.
I mean, Queen did Live Magic, and that concert was really well documented and filmed.
That day, I would say, it was about 80 degrees.
Yeah.
We got there early. It was me and
climate change.
Our good friend Brad.
Yeah.
With two girls. Got there in XR3i. And in the old days, you could park in the car park.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, in the grounds, you could park there, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So everyone was parked in the car park.
Yeah.
It was 80 degrees. Everyone couldn't wait to get in. Mm. Now, the first, if I'm right, the first act on was Nick Hayward.
Haircut, oh, was he really?
Haircut 100.
Yeah.
Right? That was the start of it.
Right. Now, Haircut 100 had dispersed. He was a solo artist by that
was
time.
Was he?
Yeah.
I still thought it was Haircut 100 in my head.
No. 86. He was okay. Yeah.
So he definitely performed. Then, Gary Glitter. Seriously?
No.
Gary Glitter was the support act that day.
Yeah, well, he was very big back then.
He was massive, yeah.
Yeah.
And he got the place rocking.
Yeah, well, of course he did, yeah.
And I thought at the time,
come on.
Yeah. And I thought it was a strange one to have because he could dominate a crowd. Normally a support act. You don't want someone going on.
No.
Blowing the place apart.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
However, they had this massive curtain after Gary
Final. That's right.
Black and white curtain.
Yes.
Just had the final.
Yeah.
And the curtain drops, George comes out, and it literally was a 20-minute intro of Everything She Wants.
Yeah, yeah.
Then Andrew comes out.
That's right, with Pepsi and Shirley.
With the long gloves and everything. And the place went mad, because Andrew's stage presence was incredible.
Yeah.
Until he plugged his guitar in,
yeah.
And then he went, that's enough of that, thank you. That's why we're splitting up, because you can't play the guitar.
Well, the funny thing is about this documentary is that, I mean, anyone who's a Wham fan like yourself knows that Andrew Ritchie, of course, had more to do with it than the people give him credit for.
Yeah.
But this really does show he was the driving force.
Was he really?
Oh, God, yeah.
Wasn't
he was
it?
The driver for Yog, as he used to call him. He didn't want to know, really, because his dad was banned him from playing music and all that sort of stuff. And he really did. Well, in fact, at one point, they play you the demos of Careless Whisper and the Young Guns.
Was it Bad Boys?
Wham Rat, he hated Bad Boys.
That was his most hated song.
Hated it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really good pop song. It still stands up for me.
I agree.
But he didn't like the fact that they were becoming this political, you know, with political lyrics. He wanted to be pure out and out.
Yeah, out and out pop. Wham. Yeah, gotcha.
Which in a vision pushed the...
Just from memory, I remember us, you know, me and you knew George's publisher, Dick Lee.
Yeah, very well,
and also I knew Brian Morrison, who was the partner. And I think I'm right in them telling us that Andrew gets a share of Careless Whisper and Last Christmas.
Quite correct.
I think about 30%.
No. On... Careless Whisper, it's 50-50.
Is it 50-50?
You'll see why.
Yeah.
Andrew originally came up with the four chords
No, did he?
Yeah.
So he can play the guitar.
He can play the guitar, yeah.
But as good as me.
Yeah, no, Andrew, what happened, Andrew Ritchie played, I'll tell you this bit, had done this four chord sequence. Because Careless Whisper is four chords.
Yeah.
It doesn't go to any other chords.
Doesn't go anywhere,
yeah. It's just a melody. That's what's brilliant about Careless Whisper. It's just melody that changes.
Yeah.
And then there's about three different melodies over the same chord progression. And George Michael said, "That's funny." He goes, "What you've written there, it goes exactly with the melody that I wrote on the bus."
Head, yeah.
And that's how on the bus.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Let's play one Wham track.
Wham Rap got released, didn't even break the 100.
No.
And then Young Guns Go For It went to about 74. Then it was going to 42.
Yeah.
And at 42, it stopped.
Yes.
And it wasn't not going to go any further, and it was going to go down, and that was going to be the end of their career.
Yeah. And
then they got a phone call.
It was our friend Gary Farrow who was their plugger.
Yes.
A plugger meaning that he takes the record
around
to radio.
Yeah.
He goes and does their press, he does their PR. And I remember him saying that they kept hounding.
Yeah.
They kept hounding the radio and saying, "No, you've got this wrong. You've got this wrong. This is a hit."
Yeah. But it wasn't going to be a hit, though. And then Top of the Pops rang and said somebody had dropped out. And because they were the closest to the 40, they got their spot and did it. And there you go.
Wow. Let's have it.
With an annoying smile, when I saw that girl upon your arm, I knew she won your heart with a fatal charm. I said, "Soul boy, let's hit the town." I said, "Hey boy, and what's with the frown?" But in return, all you could say was, "Hi, George, meet my fiance."
No tears, I want to be
nice.
Well, it's, yeah, as I just said to you then, that key change at the end, he's definitely very speeded it.
Very speeded, meaning speeded it up. For the listener.
As opposed to singing it in a different key.
Yeah.
Because you can hear he's gone a little bit Mickey Mouse.
He's going... Yeah, I know what you mean.
So that was their big first big hit.
And I wasn't a lover of it.
No, I was. I liked the second one better, Bad Boys, which he hated.
It's funny, really.
I liked Bad Boys.
I don't think I was really. Song. I don't think I was really into.
Until Wake Me Up Before You Go.
No, not even that.
Oh,
and,
really?
I think, you know, me and you were both in bands then, and I was trying to copy what they were doing.
Yeah.
I did. We did try to do a Wake Me Up Before. No, we tried to do a bit more of a. I'm Your Man type thing.
Right.
You know, I remember...
I was never a big fan of that.
No, either was I, but I knew it was quite...
I am more now, though.
And I remember doing that sort of driving snare drum. And I remember I had a studio...
Great bass solo on the 12-inch.
I had a studio at home, and I remember us doing it and thinking, yeah, this is good. And you know, you think, yeah, we're as good as Wham. And then you played Wham's.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I'm going... We're idiots. Right? But I do remember having, you know, the big stereo that you had. Like, you know, like the
stack.
No, the one that you carried around, right?
Oh, the
Ghetto Blaster.
The Ghetto Blaster, yeah.
So I had a Ghetto Blaster, but I had one of these. It was made by Alan Sugar, right? It was made by Amstrad.
Yeah, I had an Amstrad.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Plastic as you like.
Yeah. And terrible sound, tinny.
You're going to love this, John. You're going to love this. Do you have the double tape?
Oh, of course.
Double tape.
Used to tape it. It was great, wasn't it?
Right, double tape, right?
I used to tape it at double speed.
Yeah.
Tape the other tape.
So you had a tape on the left and tape on the right. How about, and it had a radio. How about this one?
Mm.
This one. Press a button. Record player folded down.
Ah.
Terrible. But
Shocking. Yeah.
So anyway, the radio's playing in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And suddenly I heard this saxophone playing.
Oh, right. So it was George Michael, really, not Wham.
Anyway, yeah, exactly. But I heard it.
Yeah.
Run over to the tape machine, just thought, love that. Press play and record.
Mm-hmm.
And just recorded it and thought, I didn't even know who it was.
Oh, really?
I just thought, what a wonderful piece of music.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then, you know, about 3 or 4 weeks later, it was everywhere.
Yeah. Then I think Freedom came out after that.
But that was a solo single.
It was. Not in America.
But
it was Wham featuring George Michael in America.
Was it? But he was still in Wham when he released Careless Whisper.
Oh, God, yeah. He was in Wham for another 2 years.
Why did he not do that as Wham?
The reason was because it never sounded like a Wham record. And that was the reason. And Andrew Ridgeley, because he's 50-50 on it, didn't really... They went to record it first because they got the deal with Epic in... After suing Inavision, got Simon Napier Bell.
Yeah.
And then, so the next record was going to be the big one.
Right.
They were saving it up. And Careless Whisper. So George Michael went to work with Jerry Wexler, who was a famous producer in America. It was called Muscle Shoals Sound. And he'd worked with Aretha Franklin, Ray Charles.
Yeah.
And so he thought, wow, this is going to be great. And you can actually, if you go on YouTube, you can go and listen to the Jerry Wexler version. It's terrible.
Really?
It's got
George singing it.
George is singing it. Oh, yeah. But you can just, it's so... Oh, it's incredible what George Michael did to it.
He produced it himself.
He produced it himself, yeah.
Would probably John Douglas engineering it.
Engineering it, yeah.
Do you know what? Let's play one more Wham song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which was my favourite one. Well, it became my favourite.
The last single, wasn't
at
it?
The end, yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason why...
It's a happy record, isn't it?
It's a happy record. We'll come back to more Wham and George's songs, but we're going to do some other bits and pieces that are in the notes as well. When he played this song, this was at the time when
at the final, you mean?
At the final,
yeah.
I was wearing, I mean, not the final because it was so
cold. God, what was you wearing?
I was wearing tassel jackets.
Oh, my God,
a cowboy tassel jacket. I had cowboy boots, tight jeans, and I just thought I was George Michael.
Of course, you did,
and I did. And I'm singing songs that sound a little bit like George Michael, but just not quite as good. I was useless. But do you know what? We walked out. Everybody,
I don't know. You weren't too bad.
I was all right, but not at the age of 18.
Well.
We walked out of Wembley Stadium
at
probably 11:15
right.
at night. burning hot. Nobody had shirts on.
Yeah.
It was so warm. Mm. And we got in that XR3i and we got out the sunroof. Mm. And we were stuck in the car park for about another hour and a half.
Yeah, trying to get out.
And everybody just singing, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
La, 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 la.
Yeah, was that the last song they did?
It was the last song. And it just really was something else.
Yeah.
Coming back to that, just before we do play this, Simon Le Bon run on. And did I'm Your Man with him.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he ran on, did I'm Your Man with him, and Elton come on, and I think from memory, Elton was dressed as a duck.
sounds like Elton.
But let's just play a little bit of this, because this is what we really, everyone walked out of Wembley Stadium at the end of the Wham final gig, singing this song.
Everyone's got their worries. I got no more worries. takes such courage.
And don't you be bad.
Great, innit?
We should have been on it.
Should have been on. Well, the main part about that, I just said to you, the brass parts, the trumpet, the sax, the trombone. Yeah. You know, it was, like I say, it was friends of ours, Steve Sidwell, Paul Spong, Neil Sidwell, yeah. Nigel Hitchcock. And when I was doing my songs, when yeah. I was 18, 19, and they came in to play on them, we go, I'm just going, do the Wham stuff. Just write Wham parts. And
yeah, said, yeah.
Wham's
yeah.
already happened. It's finished. Why do you want, you know, let's do some. Like, no, do Wham.
Yeah.
I was so impressed by it.
Well, of course, you would be 18. Yeah. Well, you still are.
Well, I still am, yeah. I still think it's fantastic. John, let's just jump on a little bit on the other news. Just some of the little stuff that we find in the newspapers.
Yeah, go on.
I like this story because we'll come back to the George stuff, and obviously, because it's going to be great. A dad is not going to pay for his daughter's wedding.
Right.
Because...
He's refused to.
But he's 48 years of age. His daughter's 19. She's a bit young getting married, by the way.
19,
she,
yeah.
She won't let him walk her down the aisle. The reason? She doesn't want to be owned.
No.
Right? What's that? What's this new thing here?
What's this owned business?
Well, it's like...
I've got my rights.
Yeah. Mum and Dad don't own me. Why should he give me away? He doesn't own me.
Right.
So I'm going
to
walk down the aisle by myself. But I'll tell you what, you're going to pick up
You're going to pay for it though, yeah. Dad.
It's terrible.
It's unbelievable.
What's gone on?
You know, it's because they're taking the phrase literally, aren't they?
Yeah.
Giving me away.
Yeah.
Just shut up.
Yeah.
It's a tradition back thousands of years.
I've got an idea.
What?
Put her on a skateboard.
Yeah.
Right, and just push her.
Yeah.
Right, get down there.
Get down there.
Get down there.
Get down there and learn.
Right.
Learn while you fall.
Right. Sit on that, right? Off you go. You know, like on a sledge, you just push someone down here. Get down there.
Go on.
Go on, boy. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then shout out, good luck, ta-da, I'm off. Right?
The lack of, well, you know, you're a dad of two. Mm. The respect has gone, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
Is it gone?
I'm fighting a little bit with... I'm fighting a little... You know, I've got a 14-year-old and an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
And I'm fighting with the new views.
Yeah, well, of course. Look, I mean, you're always going to, aren't you? I mean, you know, that's been going on for generations. It's not new.
Yeah, but I don't
know. You think about the 50s, right? Mm. You think for years before that, there was no such thing as teenagers. They weren't called teenagers. That didn't happen until the 50s.
I suppose you're right, yeah.
It was a new thing.
Mm.
Because really, in truth, they didn't really... They wasn't called teens.
In saying that, do you know what?
Go on.
Do you know what I was saying last night? I was saying to wife.
To wife, yeah.
I was saying to wife.
Go on, what was she saying to wife?
Something come up about Greece, and I said...
Well, the musical.
The musical.
Yeah.
The film,
Not the country.
No.
Yeah.
And I said... What was it, 1978, Grace, right?
It's very good.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And I did actually notice that Saturday Night Fever was released on my birthday, 23rd of March, 1978.
Yes.
So that year, John Travolta had two...
Oh, two major hits. Yeah.
But what I was trying to say was that in the 70s, really, Grease was about the 50s.
That's right.
They were all teddy boys.
Yes.
So they were teenagers.
What do you mean?
They were teenagers in the 50s.
Well, that's when they were kind of invented, yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, so I see what you mean. So
I mean, in the 40s, you had the Bobby Soxers.
Right, the what?
The Bobby Soxers, which were like Frank Sinatra fans.
Okay.
So he really, Frank Sinatra started the screaming phase.
Okay.
When he'd come on and, you know, he was the first.
And what was before that? Chaplin, was that? Charlie Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin was a
well, I know.
But before that, you had Bing Crosby. Oh, yeah. So he was the big sort of singing star. Yeah. But he was a crooner. Actually, Bing Crosby, you know, people...
He had a lovely voice.
He had a beautiful voice, and he pioneered. In fact, if it wasn't for Bing Crosby putting his money into new technology at the time, which was... So when Bing Crosby started, instead of... the microphones like this, they had the tannoy things.
Oh, yeah.
Through the thing.
Sound better then.
Of course.
Yeah.
And of course, that's how they projected their voice out.
Yeah.
And he put his money behind...
amplification.
The new technology, which was the mics. So he invented the Yeah, very close mics. Nice. So in the old days, they had to sing from here, you know. Yeah, yeah. So they really couldn't sing softly.
Yeah.
But he put his money in. He didn't invent it.
Well, nice of him.
But he's very, very nice of him.
Well, nice of him.
Yeah.
We owe him a lot.
We do owe Bing Crosby a lot.
I don't know what happened.
Wasn't nice to his kids, apparently.
This goes back to the dad not paying for the wedding, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does.
So I'm just thinking, yeah. I know, yeah. You know, what, my wedding was, what, 12, 13 years ago?
Good day.
Good day, wasn't it?
That was a good day.
Now, that was...
good party.
That was 40 grand. That came at 40
Excuse
grand.
Me.
That wedding came at 40 grand, and that was at my house.
It was a but hang on a second.
It was at my house.
It was at your house, but it was a big house.
It was a big house, yeah. But it was my house then.
It was yours.
I haven't got it anymore, but it was mine. And
it was. It's a big house.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if I didn't have it in my house, it would have cost a lot more to put it on somewhere else, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It still come to 40, right? So what I'm saying is...
the venue would have been... So it would have been a 60, 70 grand wedding. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, now...
Pulled out all the stops, didn't
you? A wedding, I did, yeah. Kikri on the coconuts.
Yeah.
Me and you, we sung.
Well, yeah, that was the highlight.
We got paid the most. but no, what I'm saying is, weddings come to a fortune now.
Mm.
So this girl here saying, Dad, right?
Yeah.
You're not walking me down the aisle. Listen, love, keep quiet. Right? You pick up a nice 50 bags, pay for it on your wedding, go on your honeymoon, just let your dad walk you down about 100 foot of a pathway, you're done.
Yeah.
Why have they got to kick up a stink?
Oh, it's ridiculous, isn't it? But it's going to get worse and worse. It is getting worse and worse. You know, while they're telling them that they can identify as a tree or a cat, it's just...
What would you like to identify as?
I mean, anything but me.
I mean, I do like that.
I would like a change, actually.
I do like that one.
Yeah, there's a new one,
I'd
by
like
the way.
To identify as a light switch.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there's a new one.
Go on.
LGBTQ BBC ITV Channel 4.
Yeah.
They got a new one added. There's a new one added, but it's plus two or something.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what...
I'll be honest with you, though. It's not on my remote.
Pardon?
I can't find it on my remote.
Oh, no, it's not on your remote.
I've looked
everywhere. No, it's on Sky.
Yeah.
But there's this new one they've added.
Yeah.
There's a new one added because LGBT, I don't know what it is. It's trans, gay.
Yeah, it's got,
anyway. Sort of, yeah. Now there's a new one. Did you know that you can have now two personalities?
Well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have. And so
but it's not schizophrenia. Yeah. You can literally have...
Two-faced.
Two personalities. You can one day be one personality.
Yeah.
And the next day you can be the other one. And this, they cater for both. Honestly.
And what's that called?
I've not done what it's called,
two-faced,
son.
Two-faced.
Two-faced.
You two-faced dirt.
I'm telling you now, I've never heard such...
Is it
codswallop in my life?
Is it like Catherine Tate's nan, where she says, "No, you're lovely.
You're lovely.
I tell you what, just put it down, love her. You're good boy, yeah.
Brilliant,
good boy.
Yeah, good boy."
Walks out the door.
What an effing liberty! She was brilliant. Well, did you see the film? I did.
She was like my mum, wasn't she? I told you.
Well, she's definitely my mum.
No, she's not.
She is.
You're not my mum's like that.
She is like that, son.
Yeah.
She is.
But my mum would go. My mum was a bit different. She'd be, "What, you driven past my house and you couldn't pop in? You've gone up there, you've driven up to him." Like, they never used to say my brother. She'd go, "You've driven up to him." Right? Somebody reminded me of my brother's speech at my wedding. My mum had sadly passed by then.
Yeah.
And he said, when I first got with wife. When I took her round my mum's, and I said, "Right, make a cup of tea, mum." Yeah. And she would phone up my brother, and she'd say, "They've been round here." And he'd go, my brother would go, "What, mum?" She'd go, "They've been round here on the sofa, kissing and cuddling."
Oh, she's brilliant. She really was brilliant. She really was.
They've been round here. Let's have Club Tropicana.
Try and say it.
I can't.
Drinks are free, though.
Drinks are free. This was pretty much based on Ibiza, wasn't it?
No, it was based on a club they used to go in London.
Oh, I thought it was...
The song was written around me. They went to Ibiza. I'm telling you all the...
Club.
I'm telling you all the documentary, aren't I?
Well, I thought it was the Ku Club. Well, in the video, it's Pike. from Pipe.
That's right.
Yeah. That's him in the
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, so. Yeah. Nice harmonies. Oh, yeah, thank you. Course, yeah. Thank you very much, George and
Lovely.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Speedos.
Pardon?
Speedos for that. They wore Speedos.
They wore Speedos.
And
they did.
Really, that sold that video, don't you think?
What, the Speedos?
Just the whole look.
I mean, like, yeah. You know. I mean, it was a good, yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
At that time, I was going to Tenerife and Ibiza. I was about 17, 18.
Yes.
And I had
83.
I sort of started to go with the long hair, and I thought, I want to be a beach bum. Yeah, I want to work on the beach.
You were 15.
I was a 15, was I? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was 15.
68.
But
yeah, when, you were 15.
You know, once the song was out for a couple of years, we went to Tenerife and Ibiza. And beach bums were, you know, pretty in.
Yes.
And I went to Ibiza and I wore a thong.
I bet you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I burnt my bottom.
Yeah, of course you did. Of course you would have done.
I bumped my bottom.
Fancy wearing a thong.
The worst part about it.
The worst part about it
is we all hired out mopeds.
Yeah.
And we wanted to go to the Ku Club, which was where George Michael used to go.
Yeah.
And we were all going to go. There was about 16 of us all in a moped. And stupidly, I'm in my thong, right? Got off me moped.
What, 15?
No, I was 18 then. I was 18.
Oh, right. That was a few years later.
Because, you know, we're sort of like, everyone's into Wham. And
86, this was.
86, right.
Yeah.
And I, and my bottom was sore. And I'd got burnt.
Oh,
I'd got
burnt
on the top parts of my cheeks from the sun, from being on the motor. And I got off and I said to a couple of my mates, I said, does my bottom look burnt in
these?
Does my bum look burnt in these?
Not does my bum look big.
No,
does my bum look burnt? Right? Yeah.
And one of my friends, one of the most annoying people,
decided to give me
a wedgie in me thong, which made things worse.
Well, what's a wedgie again?
Well, you know.
The old pull up the thing, yeah.
Yeah. And what a wedgie is.
I'm
going to give you a wedgie in a minute.
No, you're not. No.
You wear a thong, don't you?
Oh, very much. All the time. Yeah. I've got my pink one on now.
You've got the old Peter Stringfellow.
I have.
The old leopard skin one. Anyway, yeah. Oh, my God. I'll tell you what. The pain. Never again. I had a burnt bum and a wedgie. And that was the end of it. I went back and they said, you're coming out.
You deserved it,
you're
really.
You're coming out tonight.
For wearing a thong.
Well, this was the terrible thing was, in the old days, you didn't cover yourself in Factor 50.
No.
We used to cover ourselves in baby oil.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, hang on a minute.
Just fry it.
Only up to a few years ago, you still did.
No.
You did.
Well, I started on the Factor 30.
Oh, did you?
I've come back to life, yeah. I was starting to look like Ray Winston.
I can remember when you did used to use the baby oil.
Yeah, I was looking like Ray Winston in Sexy Beast.
Oh, it's hot.
Go on, do you, Ray.
Oh, it's hot. I'm roasting. The fan Debbie Dozy.
I love the fan Debbie Dozy. I love that. John, talking about that, just before we
we've got to go.
I played for Iron Maiden last night.
I know.
At the West Ham training.
Yeah, yeah.
All you West Ham fans, by the way,
yeah.
Check out the old Instagram because we had the trophy there last night.
Mm.
James Collins come, and it was Iron Maiden against West Ham staff.
Yes.
How about this, though?
Go on.
Now, we're a vets team, Iron Maiden.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They turned up in the tour bus and everything. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
And West Ham decided...
Did you go in the tour bus?
I went in the tour bus, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
And West Ham decided to put out a team that worked for West Ham of 23-year-olds against a load of old men.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Running around that pitch.
Well, did you lose?
Well, we lost 6-4, but
I think that's not bad.
It's decent.
Very decent.
Probably one of the best pitches I've ever played on West Ham training ground.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's beautiful. If you get a chance, I'm making a plan tomorrow night at the O2 and Saturday night.
Are you going? Can you get me a ticket, man?
You can go if you want.
Nah, I'm all right.
It's a bit heavy, isn't it?
It's a bit heavy for me.
Should we go out on
Should
we go out on the one that we were talking about with George Michael?
Well, do you want to go? Well, it's a bit of a gloomy one to go out on, isn't it?
Well, we'll have it underneath. We'll have it underneath.
Put it underneath. It's a lovely song.
But it's the one he recorded in Paris, right?
Yeah, it's live in Paris. Yeah, it's very nice.
I can't wait to get home.
Rufus Wainwright. You're going to get home and watch it, yeah?
Watch the documentary.
You'll love it. It's fantastic.
This song is by a gentleman called Rufus Wainwright.
Yeah.
It's called Going to a Town.
It's a beautiful song.
It is a beautiful song.
Listen, we're back next Thursday.
Yes.
We're in for a few Thursdays before we go off with Farage.
If Farage is coming back.
If he comes back.
I'm going to a town that has already been burnt down.
He hasn't got a bank account on
that. No, not anymore, no.
I'm going to a place that has already been disgraced.
They might take our bank account.
I think they will once they know we're connected.
I'm going to see some folks who have already been let down.
It's not really going to hurt us, is it?
Well, no, I think it'll take my father.
I'm gonna make it up for all of the Sunday time.
You've been listening to Bell and Sperling.
With him, Martin Bell.
And him, Johnny Sperling. Have a wonderful Thursday night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
And a wonderful week.
Beautiful. In the sun.
In the sun.
They never really seem to want to tell the truth. I'm so tired.